Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, syndicating across the country on the Business Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio, WYBC.com, and 1490 AM WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business, along with the business of politics and sports. The Netflix binge-watch series, Making a Murderer, with Stephen Avery's lawyer. Is our criminal justice system dysfunctional? Today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Jerry Buting was Stephen Avery's lawyer along with Dean Strang during the Making a Murder series currently on Netflix. He's a partner in Buting, Williams, and Stilling in Wisconsin, specializing in criminal defense. His law degree from UNC Chapel Hill, his undergrad from Indiana University. And I know that Dean Strang went to Dartmouth because I'm an alum of the business school and we're getting emails about it. Making a Murderer is the 10-part Netflix series filmed over a 10-year period. Following the Stephen Avery case, from false imprisonment for 18 years for rape, it was proven he did not commit to conviction for a murder. That's generated a lot of controversy. Well, welcome. Did you think you and Dean Strang would ever end up as TV star studs?
No, this was never on the horizon, I don't think.
Before we get into it, for folks that don't know a lot about it, can you do a brief, couple-of-minute overview on the case, maybe with a focus on as well on how the Manitowoc cops fit in both sides of the story?
This was a gentleman who had filed a $36 million lawsuit against Manitowoc County involving his wrongful conviction the first time. For about 2 years, he was out really as kind of a celebrity going around. There were legislative hearings to do some reforms in the criminal justice system and things of that sort. And then suddenly this woman disappeared, a photographer, and one of the appointments that she had that day was at the Avery Salvage Yard with Stephen Avery. Because of the apparent conflict of interest, the Manitowoc Sheriff's Department said that they were going to get off the case, transfer it to a neighboring county, because otherwise they would be investigating the very person who was suing them. But in fact, they did not disengage from the investigation. And in fact, they were the ones who found every piece of evidence, or so-called evidence, that was used at the trial. That caused a lot of, really set them up for an appearance of impropriety and beyond that, even the potential that they were monkeying around with the evidence and trying to frame him.
In fact, they found some of the most incriminating evidence after 6 searches and two cops that were specifically involved and were deposed in the prior case. Briefly, what is Stephen Avery like? From the very first show, when he comes home after 18 years, the look on his face and his smile showed to me, boy, this is a guy that doesn't look bitter or anything. Now we've heard Jody Stokowski, his girlfriend, saying he's a monster behind closed doors, etc. How do you find him?
He's not at all a monster. He's a nice gentleman who's not very well educated. Mm-hmm. He's really sort of a concrete thinker. His girlfriend's accusations that she's now coming out with, you have to understand that she was depicted in the documentary as being under a great deal of pressure. Mm-hmm. She has her own issues. She was arrested 3 times as the law enforcement was trying to turn her against him in the first place, but she didn't. This is all coming out later. So for whatever her motivation is, I can't say, but it certainly doesn't fit the facts that we saw at the time of the trial.
Now, this fundamental duality that I've seen coming out of this, which is that the unfairness of the criminal justice system comes over and over and over with the Brendan Dassey case as well, and it's created all kinds of a groundswell of public support for Stephen Avery. On the other hand, there's a lot of evidence, some of which is not in the documentary, which we'll talk about, that says that he could very well be guilty. Do you think people, maybe you're confusing the two? How do you assess it?
You know, I think the initial reaction that people have is to focus on this individual case and how, you know, the evidence certainly looked like he did not get a fair trial and, you know, perhaps worse, that he might have even been framed. I think it was natural that the initial reaction of people is to focus on him. But the documentary really was made, I understand what the filmmakers have said, to shine a light on the criminal justice system and see how it works. And they were originally drawn to the project because it was an unusual circumstance where somebody who had been wronged, who had spent 18 years in prison, was now finding himself back in the criminal justice system. And would he fare better? Would the reforms that had been attempted actually work in his case and help him, or would he be subject to the same old problems? And the documentary shows that many more reforms are needed. This case is really, you know, unusual in some ways and not so unusual in others. The interrogation of the 16-year-old, for instance, that happens every day in thousands of places in this country.
Mind-boggling.
It is. It's terrifying.
One of the high drama points is when you uncover a blood vial from 1985, the original rape case, and it looks like it's been tampered with, and the blood evidence maybe then been planted by the Manitowoc cops in the car, etc. So this commentary that this documentary is somewhat slanted or whatever. That day, I guess Avery had made calls to Teresa Halbach, and then calls that were Star 67. In other words, there might have been a little bit more of his interest there. That was not really portrayed in there. What's your feeling about stuff like that?
Obviously, this is a very long trial. It was 6 weeks. There was defense evidence that was not included in the documentary as well, and you know, we had no editorial control at all about what would end up in the documentary. It was the filmmaker's decision, and they had to make choices. And I think what they did is they picked the major pieces of evidence that were contested by both sides.
Mm-hmm.
The pieces of evidence that the prosecutor is now claiming were left out and were somehow very important really weren't. There were minor issues, that some of which never even came into trial because the judge found that they weren't reliable and probative enough. Obviously, any documentarian is going to have a point of view. There is more from the defense perspective because we agreed to cooperate and
they
the prosecution
not.
Did not.
The blood evidence, it didn't end up showing that there was EDTA preservative in it, which would tend to lessen the chance of it being planted. On the other hand, I was watching snippets again last night that only 3 of the 6 swabs you said were tested, which means theoretically the other 3 could have been planted. But that still means the 3 that were there were could not have been planted. Do you think they could not have been planted because of the lack of EDTA, or is there a more different way to look at it?
No, there is a different way to look at it.
Okay.
And really, the story of the EDTA test in this case is really an example of the power that the government can marshal against one individual, because there were no labs anywhere in the country, that were reliable anyway, that were doing EDTA tests, that is, tests that would try and determine if the preservative from a blood vial might be on a stain that's mm-hmm. left at a crime scene. There were no labs in the country, including the FBI, doing that. And no one had used it, that type of a test, since the FBI did it in the OJ case
mm-hmm.
and came out with a result that helped him. And then they were really pilloried in the scientific journals afterwards about the protocol they used. So they came up with a very rushed test protocol, claimed that it was able to determine conclusively whether or not this preservative might have been in the stains, but they had no independent validation, they had no outside validation, no peer review. They created the protocol and came out with the test results in the last week of the trial.
And you could not do your own test, I guess.
We had no opportunity to do our own test or get an independent lab. And what we did do, though, is find a lab auditor, a very respected one, who works for the federal government in a lot of different capacities. And she concluded that based on the data that they had, you really couldn't rule out the possibility that EDTA preservative was there. Their detection limit may not have been low enough. And, you know, we were talking about a blood vial that was 9 years old at that time. So, you know, how stable EDTA is in that kind of environment is something there hasn't been a lot of research on either. So, and then you, on top of that, you see the bias of the FBI when they only tested 3 of 6 stains, and yet the expert was willing to profess an opinion that even the stains he didn't test could not have this preservative EDTA in them.
All right, we have a few more seconds in this segment. They found that the key on the floor to the car after the 6th search by the 2 guys, as you said, that were under the deposition. Do you think that, do you, first of all, A, think there was any chance it really was planted, and B, given what we've just talked about, is there any reason that he can legitimately be convicted based on reasonable doubt, even if he's guilty, just based on the way this was all handled?
Well, quickly, the key, I think the evidence shows it's so highly suspicious the way it was found, mm-hmm. and what it was. It had none of her DNA on it, and no other house keys, no other business keys attached to it. I mean, who walks around with a single key like that? And none others. They never found any other keys. So, we're talking about a trailer house, you know, the bedroom, very small bedroom, yeah. That had been ransacked for 6 times before suddenly they find it laying in plain view on the floor. And the ones that found it are the same 2 law enforcement agents who had been deposed in his civil lawsuit just 3 weeks earlier and never told anybody, any of the other investigators, that they were closely tied to his civil case.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Biz Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. Coming next, Brendan Dassey, abused by the system, and what's next?
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Call now. 1-800-535-9652. That's 1-800-535-9652.
There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-3719. That's 1-800-352-3719.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just 1 day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-4128 and get your free bottle. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-4128. That's 800-554-4128.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 39security.com. That's the number 39security.com. 39security.com. Go to 39security.com.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. Netflix series Making a Murderer with one of Avery's lawyers, Jerry Buting. One of the things that Dean Strang, I think, said was that, you know, police don't frame innocent people. That some people have now interpreted that as a tacit admission that he was guilty.
Well, no. What he meant was police don't usually think they are framing an innocent person. That they make the a judgment, oftentimes snap judgment and a wrong judgment, as we can see from his first wrongful conviction in this very with this very gentleman. What he was trying to say is that they may well have believed that Stephen Avery was guilty of this murder, but they're wrong, and the evidence that they didn't look for, you know, might have helped show that. So when the police choose to be the judge and the jury and make those kind of judgments and then try and frame somebody because they think the person is innocent, that's something that we've got to be very, very much afraid of in this country. That is not their role.
Rather than a full-blown conspiracy, do you think that if this is true, that what happened was, there's a lot of evidence around here, and we're just going to goose it up to the way we can, moving the key, et cetera?
That very well might have been what happened. It wouldn't have required a large conspiracy.
Right.
One or two people could have done it and had the access and opportunity to do it.
All right, let me ask you, Brendan Dassey now, clearly mentally challenged, said basically whatever anybody told him, regardless of whether it was his mother, whatever. You said this happens every day. I want you to comment on that. And on the other side of this, I read that if you read his statement, that it was actually highly detailed, and that he went through from the sex in the bed to taking to the garage to cutting the throat, shooting five times, cutting hair, that he actually had a incredibly detailed assessment of it. And that, I guess, he talked to his mother and said Avery molested him, too. Does there lend any credence to that, that he actually had a very detailed response, even though he disowned all of his statements eventually?
Right. No, because when you actually look at the statement, and it's available online for people to look at and to follow the transcript, you'll see that the great majority of the detail, it was provided by the police in their questions. You look at a printed page, and there'd be, long third of a page would be the officer saying, this could have happened, did this happen, did that happen, and then a one-word response, yes, or yeah, or I don't know, or, there were never, until they had fed him the facts, any long, detailed exposition of any particular offense. And then I think he also explained that at times he was guessing what they wanted him to do, particularly when they're trying to get him to say something that only the real killer would know, which is to say that she was shot in the head. They had just received proof of that. And so they went over and over that. Something happened. Tell us what happened. We know what happened. What happened to her head? Starts suggesting that he should talk about the head. And as they're going along, that's how he came up with the stabbing and the slitting of the throat and the strangling and punching her, and all of which was completely false, because there was absolutely no forensic evidence of a bloody scene or any speck of evidence, much less DNA of hers.
That's one of the things that bothered me, by the way, initially, is Ken Krantz, the prosecutor. I think the first time he said this was they were in the bed, she was tied up and all that, and they cut her throat. How could he have represented that when there's no way that anything could have happened of that nature in the with nothing in the bedroom?
It's shocking
and
totally improper, and you know, really denied this gentleman a right to a fair trial by doing that, because it poisoned the public so quickly. I mean, he gave this gripping narrative.
Did he know he was lying outright? Because he could have said it happened in the garage where it might have happened. I mean,
you know, I don't know what his motivation was, and you know, what he knew, I can say, is from what was in the police report. He already knew this case had been investigated now for 4 months.
Right.
He already knew that their investigators and their forensic scientists had found no blood, no DNA in that bedroom at all.
Wow.
And yet he gave that narrative, and part of the documentary's, I hope part of its effect is to get people to understand the effect of media on their perceptions of people and their opinions of things, because the media never checked it. You know, they never really...
Yeah, they don't circle around that even in the documentary. You said this happens all the time to 16-year-old type kids. This guy's especially challenged. His own lawyer, though, set him up. Does that happen a lot?
That I can't say. I mean, that may be an unusual circumstance. What I'm saying happens every day is that juveniles are called out of their class, brought down to the principal or vice principal's office, and there is Detective so-and-so, and they're then grilled and interrogated in ways like this without a parent present, without a lawyer present, and the courts turn a blind eye to it. As long as they read the Miranda rights, that's enough, basically. As this documentary demonstrates, it's very difficult to convince a court that a confession is coerced. Under the techniques they use today, though, it happens very often, particularly with vulnerable individuals like juveniles. Every state should pass a law tomorrow that bars any interrogation of a juvenile without a parent or a lawyer present. Just don't know how to assert their rights and stand up to the very sophisticated questioning techniques that police officers are trained to use.
Interesting. Well, my last question is going to be on reforms. Tell us what happens next. Now, in appeal options, one of the things, and this may not have been brought out, been cut out, and you did try and do it, you didn't bring in any what they call third-party liability. Somebody else could have done it. And in reading, I saw that Scott Tadick, Charles Avery, and Earl Avery, all of them have sexual assault charges at some point.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to comment on other possible – I'm not going to name other possible suspects in this forum. We did do it before the court. The court prevented us from showing any evidence to the jury about why these other people could be suspects. And that was a pretrial ruling that I think was very damaging to our case, because I knew that the jury would think if Stephen Avery didn't do this, who did?
Yeah.
And we knew that there were many other people who had the same access and opportunity as Stephen Avery to have done this, and some of them with records and histories that were more consistent with a perpetrator of this type than Stephen Avery.
Let me ask you this question. The judge, when sentencing him, said that he's the most dangerous person he'd ever been in that courtroom, and there was an escalating pattern here. My question is, the guy was in jail for 18 years. He was close to this payday. Where does he get this escalating most dangerous thing from?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, if you take away the fact that he was wrongly, you know, his wrongful conviction, he had no other violent convictions of any sort. You know, he had, you know, some relatively petty juvenile stuff, breaking into a liquor store and stealing a six-pack of beer and that kind of thing.
Throwing the cat into the fire was a...
Yeah, and that was a horrible thing. Yeah. But it was young and sitting around a fire drunk with a bunch of other people out in the country. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to try and justify that, but that doesn't make you a murderer.
And there was no pattern going on, was there, of escalating since he'd gotten out of prison?
No, he'd been completely law-abiding ever since he'd got out of prison. And you know, had no motive to commit this offense and was about to come into a big payday. So, you know, I don't know where the judge came up with that opinion, and, you know, it was totally unsupported, I think.
Fascinating. And I have to say, you guys were extremely impressive in the whole thing. and you stuck with it over a long process. Jerry, thanks for your time. That's Jerry Buting from Making a Murderer, one of Stephen Avery's lawyers.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
For the first time, Vladimir Putin directly implicated authorizing a murder of Alexander Litvinenko. We'll talk with Russian hedge fund expert whose attorney was killed in Russia under mysterious circumstances as well. Today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, we've got Bill Browder, founder and CEO of Hermitage Capital Management, one of the first and then the largest forward investors in Russia. He's now leading a campaign to expose Russia's pervasive economic fraud, human rights abuses, even at his own personal safety risk. His book was Red Notice, a true story of high finance, murder, and one man's fight for justice. Welcome back, Bill. Honored to have you again.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
We got this explosive report. Retired High Court Judge Robert Owen, I find the Russian Federal Security Service, the FSB, operation to kill Mr. Litvinenko was probably approved by then FSB Director Nikolai Patrushev and President Vladimir Putin. This is the top levels of the Kremlin. Let's get your thoughts on that. And then give us the quick overview on the Magnitsky case so people understand where you're coming from.
Sure. Well, so you had a British High Court judge conclude that there was a Russian state-sponsored assassination using nuclear materials, a compound called polonium, inside the center of London 10 years ago. He went through all the evidence and came up with the conclusion. And that's what was published last week, and most shockingly, he actually drew a line right to Vladimir Putin. It's pretty astounding that such a public accusation would be made, and what's probably more astounding is that the Russians have just shrugged it off and carried on with their own dirty business as they always do.
Do the one-minute overview of the Magnitsky case so people understand where you're coming from, your experience.
Sure. Well, so the reason I'm talking about this and the reason that I care about this is that I've got a lot of experience with the whole issue of Russian state-sponsored assassinations. I was at one point the largest foreign investor in Russia between 1995 and 2005, and I was ultimately expelled from the country after I exposed corruption. My lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, who uncovered a massive corruption scheme after I was expelled, was then arrested after he uncovered the scheme. He was put in pretrial detention. He was tortured for 358 days, and he was killed on November 16, 2009, at the age of 37. The Russian authorities then covered up the responsibility of every person involved in his killing and then put Sergei himself on trial 3 years after they killed him in the first trial against dead man in Russian history. So it's been my objective to expose these criminals, to get them sanctioned in the West. I was successful in the U.S. Congress getting a law passed named after Sergei Magnitsky, my lawyer, called the Magnitsky Act, which was the first ever, or I should say first in 35 years, sanctions law against the Russian Federation. In which basically sanctioned individuals who were involved in the killing of my lawyer and people who did similar human rights abuses. And so I'm deeply connected to these issues and very sensitized to the most recent news that came out about Litvinenko.
I read the Owen report, and there's some things in there that are pretty amazing to me. One, that Putin is a pedophile, but Litvinenko was saying that there's links between organized crime and Putin and Colombian drug cartel laundering money between that same group and sending weapons to Al-Qaeda. Do you find that credible and amazing?
Well, basically what you have in Russia is a criminal gang running a sovereign state, and this criminal gang is involved in every different type of crime. Litvinenko was exposing these things you've just mentioned. My lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, was exposing other things, and various other people who get involved in exposing crimes and corruption of the Putin regime end up getting dead. And this is, I mean, it's interesting because there is no difference between the organized crime and the Russian government. They're effectively one and the same. And that's a hard thing for people to get their heads around, because we all think to ourselves, well, there are different types of people in the world. There's criminals, and there's police, and there's government officials, but in Russia, they're all one and the same.
It's pretty amazing. One of the two folks that killed Litvinenko actually was elected to the lower house there, the Duma, and Putin honored him in 2015. That's like snubbing his nose at the world?
Well, this is what Putin does. So in our case, in the Magnitsky case, the same thing happened, where the people who were involved in killing Sergei Magnitsky ended up getting special promotions and state honors and recognition by the top level of the Russian government. This is effectively what they do. Is you know, Putin has probably got 10,000 of these gangsters working for him, and he can't allow any of them to get into trouble, because if one of them, he can't throw any of them under the bus, because if one of them gets into trouble, then the other 9,999 are going to say, you know, maybe it's not worth it. So he's got to make sure that if somebody gets into trouble, he's standing by them to get them out of trouble, which is what happened with this guy Lugovoy, who became a member of the parliament, and the same thing that happened with a bunch of the police officers who were involved in falsely arresting, torturing, and killing Sergei Magnitsky.
And by the way, the Russians signed the Euro extradition convention, and Putin is not extraditing either of those folks. So he's basically violating international law that he signed on himself. The report also goes through all these other potential murders. We'll look at them in sort of a groups. One is journalists, obviously, the Paul Klebnikov, the Forbes bureau chief, Anna Politkovskaya, human rights related to Chechen abuses, Natalia Estemirova. Journalists are just killed willy-nilly?
Well, basically, what Putin was doing was he didn't want anyone saying any bad stuff about him or exposing his government's crimes and war crimes and corruption crimes and so on and so forth. And so the way he went about it was he would pick a very high-profile person in whatever field he was being annoyed by, and he would kill them. He wouldn't kill everybody in that field. He'd just kill one of them. And he was hoping by doing so, he would send a very powerful message to the rest of them, which is that if you do this, your sanction is death. And just to remind you, a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, one of the most beloved and famous Russian opposition politicians, Boris Nemtsov, was murdered right on the bridge in front of Red Square. And again, it was the same type of thing. They killed him, and this is a place where they have like 60 or 70 security cameras that all conveniently weren't working that moment. so they kill him, and the message is to anybody else who's in the political opposition, you know, the sanction is now death. And guess what? There's a lot of people who aren't going to be rushing into political opposition in Russia anytime soon.
And funny, I read in the report, which I did not know, there's a template for that. Sergei Yanukov, I don't know if I pronounced that right, was the founder of the Russian Liberal Party. He was shot in the street as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is there's no mystery about these things.
You said he has these guys killed. So you're saying, again, like Litvinenko, he directly authorizes these things in your mind.
Yeah. In my opinion, Putin is a cold-blooded killer. And he sits with his guys and he says, yeah, let's take that guy out. That's how I believe Putin operates.
It's unbelievable. There's a term in the report that the FSB uses called extrajudicial elimination. It's almost like there's a category for when they want to kill people illegally. And the report also says the two Chechen wars were actually instigated in phony ways by apartment bombings and terrorist attacks that actually Putin's folks engineered.
Yeah. Well, so again, imagine that you're Putin. He's a totally immoral guy. These apartment bombings that you're referring to took place in 1999. just as he was trying to become president of Russia, and nobody knew who he was. And so according to this was Litvinenko who came out with this stuff, the guy who was killed in London. According to Litvinenko, what Putin did was that he got his secret police, the FSB, to go blow up successively 9 apartment buildings in Moscow. And I was in Moscow at the time, and as these buildings were blowing up, every single person in the city was terrorized. People didn't know if you'd be going to bed and then waking up in an explosion. And about 1,000 people died, and it was visceral, the fear and the anguish of people, Moscow residents, and everybody wanted something to be done. And after blowing up the buildings, then Putin blamed it on the Chechens and then went on TV saying, we're gonna bomb these guys, even if we have to bomb them in the outhouse. And from that moment on, everybody was so relieved that there was some leader taking charge when the whole thing was a setup in the first place.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. We're going to talk next with Bill. Does the linking of Putin to murder directly change anything?
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 90.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-4128 and get your free bottle. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-4128. That's 800-554-4128.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's A Place for Answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex. And we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
Biz Talk Radio.
The man who's been facing down Putin since the killing of his Russian lawyer, Bill Browder, is with us. This is a finding of official culpability for the first time by a governmental entity, essentially. Will it change anything, and will it put a damper on Putin's behavior?
The finding certainly is very helpful to everybody who knows what's going on out there, because there's a lot of people who say, well, there's no proof of that. Well, now you have a former high court judge who led a public inquiry coming up with extremely strong and very 330-some-odd page report detailing the crimes of Putin in relation to Litvinenko. So that's significant. However, what is also significant is the unbelievably weak response of the British authorities to this report. So let's just imagine that the Russians brought in nuclear material and decided to use it to assassinate an American citizen in the center of Washington, and in the process exposed 700 people to radiation. What would be the likely U.S. response to this? Well, in my mind, it would be pretty harsh. I think that the U.S. tends to respond appropriately to these types of situations. Well, let me tell you what the British response has been. The British response is that next time Cameron meets with Putin, he's going to bring it up, and he asked his minister for Europe to summon the ambassador to commit to not doing it again. And the message is that you can go and do foreign hits using nuclear material in the UK, and there will be no consequence. It's effectively a green light to Russian assassins to come and settle their scores in England and expose the rest of the population.
That's scary. So then are you surprised that an official report would have gone this far?
Well, the official report, and this is the beautiful thing about the British justice system, is that nobody controlled the guy who wrote the report. He was totally independent. He was a former high court judge. He wasn't told what to write. He wrote what he thought based on the evidence. But what is very shocking is that the British government chose to effectively do nothing, because they were more worried about appeasing Vladimir Putin than they were about protecting public safety and enforcing criminal justice.
Now, there's been some evidence, and I think you've said this before, that moving into Chechnya and things like that, maybe the Crimea and the Ukraine, allows Putin to divert from an economy going into the tank. Do you think that's true, and do you think this move into Syria represents that as well?
Once he went into Ukraine and they shot down MH17, the airliner, and they killed all those innocent people, that was the moment that the Europeans and the United States imposed what's called sectoral sanctions on Russia, which basically means that Russia can't borrow any more money in the world. And this has created a huge problem for Putin. There's no more money in Russia. There's no more money anywhere else. The oil price is collapsing at the same time. He's in economic distress right now, and so he needed to find a way out of this. The only way, there's only two ways out of sanctions. One is to abide by the sanctions, which Putin could never do because that would show weakness. So Putin came up with another way, which is what I call bombing his way to the negotiating table. He went into Syria, started dropping bombs, mostly bombs on our rebel allies in Syria who are trying to defeat Assad, and creating more refugees in Syria, which everybody is desperate to try to avoid in Europe. And he's hoping that by creating an even bigger problem than what he's done in Ukraine, which is this problem in Syria, he can also create the solution. And his purpose of creating the solution is to get the sanctions lifted from Ukraine.
Does it scare you when you hear things like Donald Trump, who's leading the GOP nomination race, that when he says that, this is a guy I can deal with, and I haven't seen that he's killed anybody?
Well, Donald Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. His comments about Russia are completely like kindergarten comments. They make no sense. I know Russia 1,000 times better than Donald Trump, and he should just shut his mouth about that, because surely he doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right. What kind of actions do you recommend? Do we need a British Magnitsky Act? What would you do, or what would what's Bill Browder going to do next?
Well, I'm pushing very hard for the British government to impose a British Magnitsky Act, imposing sanctions, visa sanctions, and asset freezes on the people in the command structure who are responsible for ordering this hit on Alexander Litvinenko. It's the minimum that the British government can do in order to create a public deterrent against doing it again. The Russians, and Putin in particular, look for weakness. He found it, and they can't. This government can't show weakness. And what's amazing is that while the prime minister in Britain is busy trying to appease Russia, there's a lot of other people in the parliament and even in the government who don't agree with that. And so I'm hoping that this shocking lack of reaction is just a temporary lack of reaction, and we can actually get something done with the British Magnitsky Act here in the near future.
Is there an international justice mechanism or anything that would be able to hold him accountable for murders and corruption or not?
Well, eventually he will be hauled in front of the International Criminal Court in The Hague.
You believe that?
When all is said and done, I'm sure of it. I mean, he's crossed the line, you know, just with what he's done in Syria. There's 1,000 civilians killed because of Russian airstrikes. That's enough to bring him in front of the ICC. But there'll be a lot more before this whole ugliness is over. Unfortunately, that's a long way off, and there'll be a lot more hardship between now and then.
Do you see the Russian economy collapsing?
Well, I think the Russian economy already has collapsed. I mean, you basically have an economy where 50% of the entire budget of the government is dependent on oil and gas, and the oil and gas price is down, you know, from 100 to 30-something. That's a major collapse. And then you add on top of that the collapse of the currency. The currency has gone from roughly the high 20s to between the mid-70s and the mid-80s, depending on where you are on any given day. So, and this is a country where everyone imports all their consumer goods. So imagine that, you know, things are 2 to 3 times more expensive, everything you buy. That's got to upset people a lot. And so you end up, and then you have, as the currency is collapsing, they've raised interest rates. Interest rates are like 14% over there. So you've got high interest rates, a collapsing currency, collapsing oil, collapsing metals prices. It's just a disaster, an economic disaster over there.
As we finish up, are you optimistic that this guy will be, knocked out of power at some point? I mean, are you optimistic about Russia, or this guy's going to hang on as long as he feels he needs to hang on?
He's going to hang on with every ounce of energy he's got, he can hang on by his fingernails if he has to. This is a guy who's got no exit strategy. His exit strategy is the International Criminal Court in The Hague, and he doesn't want to spend his time sitting in the dock, and he'll do everything possible to make sure that doesn't happen.
Great answer. That's how really well worded is. What does he have any exit strategy here? Thanks again to Bill Browder. Always honored to have him fighting a fight that needs to be done and pretty scary. His book, which is absolutely riveting, Red Notice, A True Story of High Finance, Murder, and One Man's Fight for Justice. It's published by Simon and Schuster. Bill, thanks for coming on. We'll catch up with you again, and hopefully things have changed. Hope you've got a Magnitsky Act out of the UK.
Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Thank you. The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.